Episode 90.
Technicians who think they can get all the information they want off of YouTube or Google or whatever without actually understanding the underlying fundamentals. And unfortunately, I think that second group, even though they can be successful to a point, they're the ones that I see diagnostically, Jerry sees coming into the shop, that they see the vehicle after the nightmare. There's a lot of strength in that web-based information, but I really think the training is so essential to having a good foundation and being able to do the right thing the first time.
Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio's audio replay of this face-to-face video roundtable. Welcome, aftermarketers, to episode 90. This is Carm Capriotto. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. Hey, if you are listening and subscribed on iTunes, then great. And if not, don't forget iTunes is a great option for you to bring every episode directly to your iPhone. In a continuing series on technician training, welcome to part two of a face-to-face video podcast. You can listen to the audio only or watch the episode on the RemarkableResults.biz website. You choose. Now get ready to enjoy G. Jerry Trulia from ATTS, Pete Meyer from Motor Agent Pierre Respo, in a great dialogue about technician training. See the show notes page on the bios of Jerry, Pete, and Pierre, three extremely qualified trainers, talk and shop. So why listen? Understand why ongoing training is the number one critical need, because technology is moving so fast. Realize the value for having a strong training culture, and learn why the industry needs manufacturer support for affordable training. Appreciate why you need 100% of basic electrical knowledge if you want to repair today's vehicles, and learn how TST was able to divert funds from manufacturers to reduce the cost of the 13th annual Big Event training in March of 2016. When these three amigos get together to talk shop, it makes for a fun and exciting episode with even a few belly laughs. Don't forget, you can catch the audio only and or the video replay, whichever you prefer. Now, here we go with Technician Training Part 2 and G. Jerry Trulia, Pete Meyer, and Pierre Respo. Hey guys, thanks for being here. I think this is going to be a great episode, one of those legacy ones people will want to listen to all the time. And I know you're burning to tell stories about the big need in our industry. But let me start with a question and let you guys go from there. Does training increase earnings potential for technicians?
It can. And it should always, but it doesn't always. The thing is, the technicians that are well-trained and promote themselves well, you have to put those together, they can make more money. And I think they often do.
It ends up becoming part of the culture of the shop, too, and the need and the want to increase wages with... I recently did a podcast with a shop owner who says, we put so many dollars per week in the salary of our technician. If he doesn't hit the minimum requirements per quarter, he loses it. So there's a training incentive already built in. Have you ever heard of something like that, G?
Yes. I have a couple of students at a shop owners that have implemented training in order for their tech to get a raise, they need a minimal of 4 training courses a year. And Greg from Harriman Auto was one of the first guys that really implemented that. And he says it's tougher nowadays because, you know, we're low on technicians. Pulling people into this industry, as I discussed with you prior, is a real tough thing. So to get these guys to go to training, some of them know, well, if I don't go, what's my boss going to do? Who's he going to replace me with? And that's a really poor attitude because technology is not standing still. With the autonomous vehicle, with all these electronics, boy, oh boy, you need to stay up on your game. You really do. And training is where it's at.
That prompts me to tell all of our listeners and our watchers to please look at the two episodes we've done within the last 30 days on the connected vehicle, part 1 and 2. Now, they're long, but we had 4 experts in the connectivity world, And it was really a view from the Consumer Electronics Show and all the car dealers that went to that, that were presenting connectivity and you know, center console solutions. Very, very eye-opening. And it's all about, you know, there's that, we talked about technician licensing, G, on your show. There's no doubt that if and one of the points that was brought up is if someone repairs a car, Pete, and they do it wrong and it's an autonomous car and it's supposed to stop or do something based on all the electronics in the car, it starts getting into a gray area of qualifications, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think we have to wait for the autonomous car. We have these instances already now.
Yeah.
Where, in fact, I did a video of my own not too long ago called CYA about making sure that you know what you're doing before you do it. I'll give you a good example. The collision guys have it even worse than we do. If you have a sensor that's in the front or rear of the vehicle that's related to the airbag deployment.
Right.
And you have that placed a millimeter out of spec, that could cause that airbag to deploy a millisecond too soon, a millisecond too late. In either case, causing a lot more harm than good. And the question becomes, who's responsible for that? You know, the autonomous cars are just taking that even further. John Anello, who these guys know, has just written an article for an upcoming issue of the magazine on called Radar Love. You're now dealing with cars that have built-in radar systems, and these components are replaced. They have to be initialized. They have to be aimed. And if these service procedures are not followed or shotgunned, then these collision avoidance systems that the cars of today have aren't going to work the way they're supposed to.
So the whole, that whole autonomous thing, the systems that really help braking are more critical than ever. Yet, let me ask you a question about just the technology of repair. Gee, for example, are there new methods discovered all the time as to how to accomplish a repair?
Well, in the body end, and I'm not a body guy, but let's take the Ford F-150 aluminum chassis. You know, there is special, you know, tools and equipment and different ways of repairing that. You know, I just caught a part of a training session a while back, and I was at the Rouge plant where they build that. And they're, you know, methods are different. You really do have to change the way you're going to fix things. Now, as far as other vehicles, yes. You know, we had a vehicle in the shop, I'd say about a week or so ago, a direct injection vehicle. And it's not the same way that someone would change a fuel pump or even test a fuel pump. There's different, you know, there's different pressures, let's say, with direct injection. So you're going to need to know what the procedure is, and that's where all data, on-demand, the Motologic, Dentifix, all of these things come in handy, and training and having the right tools. In fact, we needed a special tool to insert that fuel pump. And lucky, you know, we stay up and buy the right equipment and the right tools. You know, just another one this morning, and Pierre, you know this from Volkswagen Audi. 2014 and up, Volkswagens with plastic pans have a special drain plug,
yeah,
a special tool. It's plastic, and you take it out once, people are breaking them with screwdrivers, you're in trouble. So you need the right equipment in your shop and the right info.
And, you know, this is a part of training that gets forgotten, I think. More than being missed in training, it gets forgotten by the students. Things like proper torques, proper lubricants, proper assembly procedures, those are the kind of things that even if we learn them in school or learn them in training, we need to review these things. I don't know about everybody else out there, but I know I get, let's call it lazy or pressed for time, and sometimes you skip things. It's a good idea to review these things periodically and look at that information, especially if you're doing a procedure you're not real familiar with.
Yeah, it's definitely laying everything out. You know, like when I teach a hybrid class, talking something down, making sure you do things in steps so we don't leave anything out. Very, very important. You know, the normal tech, you know, they're going to use a torque stick to put a wheel on. Well, that may be good, but there's nothing like when a car's down on the ground to double check your work with a regular torque wrench and torquing them to the right spec. we see many wheels come in that are ruined, that someone maybe did not use a torque stick and over-torqued it. You could see that the nut, the wheel itself, is now damaged. So basic things like that are important. Talking even a drain plug pan. You know how many oil changes the guys do, and then we see that the drain plug is damaged, but it also damaged the pan. That's like a magnesium setup that you only have one shot at doing it right. And, it, you know, a lot of the pans tell you 25 Newton meters, or my Volt, I think, is 15 Newton meters. You have to have the right info and stay up on your game. Unfortunately, there's too many installers. You know, people call themselves a technician or a mechanic, and they're far from it. They don't use the correct practices in really diagnosing and fixing or even doing maintenance on a vehicle.
And electrical diagnostics, and actually this is a kind of a pet subject of mine. Jerry knows this. I'm gonna quote myself here from years past. If you went to grade school and you learned 70% of the alphabet, would you be able to read and write? And the answer is no, you would not. So when it comes to basic electrical, the basic stuff, you really need 100% of it. And if you're rusty or you've forgotten stuff, that's why we like to kind of press some of these basic things over and over again. It's because we find that it's a weakness in the industry. And you have to go back to the basics, and then the more advanced things start to fall into place more easily.
In fact, we have coming up with Mr. Pete Meyer, will be freezing up here. So the sun behind Pete is going to be gone soon. But next Saturday, we're doing a webcast, and what's it on?
Electrical. I think it's two Saturdays, isn't it?
Oh, is it two Saturdays?
Two weeks.
But electrical, how important is it? We've done so many of them, but Pierre hit the nail on the head. You have to revisit some of your basic stuff, like testing it. Oh.
There it is.
Oh, February. Look,
I read this stuff. You know, I'm just not another pretty face.
Okay.
I was going to promote this a little bit, but, you know, if I know you, G, you would have promoted the hell out of this.
We got to get it in.
Yeah, I hear you. Webinar live Saturday, February 27th, 2016 at 6 p.m. Eastern. So tell me exactly how they get there. What do they do?
Pete?
Well, if you're on the social media, you can register through our Facebook page. The newsletters have it, the information. TST, of course, is sending out information on it. Not hard to find.
Okay.
You register for it. This one is a pay-per-view because you got to pay for the airfare up there.
Okay, this is a pay-per-view. But, okay. This is a pay-per-view event. Oh, it must be a big boxing thing.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers, and there, you get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. And if these great training programs aren't enough, you've got the Guru's On Demand app for quick, accurate assistance and information. And when the phone is just perfect, there's the ASE-certified bilingual Guru's On Call there to help. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards loyalty program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brand. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. Head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. Guys, I want to ask this question. Do you see the culture of training changing in the shops? Do you see it really changing? Because there's been so much talk. It almost seems evangelical. There's people preaching about the critical need of ongoing training. Do you see that shifting?
I think there's a dichotomy. I think there's the people who understand the value of training, real training, and utilize that to be successful and competent. And there's the culture of technicians who think they can get all the information they want off of YouTube or Google or whatever. without actually understanding the underlying fundamentals. And unfortunately, I think that second group, even though they can be successful to a point, they're the ones that I see diagnostically, Jerry sees coming into the shop, that they see the vehicle after the nightmare. There's a lot of strength in that web-based information, but I really think the training is so essential to having a good foundation and being able to do the right thing the first time.
Now, what I see, Calm, is that older technicians, like the four of us that are on here, they want to come out, and some of them are really at their limit. They've been coming out for years, and it's pretty much the same faces we see, is what I'm trying to say.
All right.
New guys, very, very tough, because as the industry, Pete and I have discussed this before in length, they really don't get paid a lot. So when they got to come out for paid training on their own time, it's never going to work. What we need is something that happened a year ago, like Auto Mechanica, where Motor Age, Auto Mechanica, TST, ATSG, and ATTS, we helped get people in with our great sponsors, a list that is unbelievably long, to get them in for free training. And to my amazement, we really got out a whole group. I knew we'd get a lot of people out, but I thought it was going to be just older guys. We had a really good group of young people for the first time that I have seen anywhere at any training event in the whole country. So hats off to Motor Age and Auto Mechanica. And I think if we could get sponsors to foot the bill, you know, it's advantageous to them. They're not going to be able to sell their brakes, their bearings, their spark plugs, their electrical supplies. They're not going to be able to sell their tools. If we don't update these guys, they won't be in business. They won't be there to sell it to.
And worse yet, the warranty claims can be gigantic. They might sell them, but they have such gigantic warranty claims that all their profits are negated.
You know, that's very good. That comes back to something years back. Ralph Birnbaum, who was the editor of Import Service Magazine and a friend, co-writer of mine, we wrote a whole bunch of books for NAPA, NIAT. And the reason why NAPA really wanted these books and these training programs written, their warranty rate was big time. And how do you tell a customer, you know, your third starter, you know, you're kind of dumb. It's not the starter. So you have to do it a different way. If you educate them, now they're not going to bring that starter back. They're going to find the voltage drop problem. They're going to find that loose connection, the corrosion, whatever it may be. And I think that's really important. But we need the companies to step up to the plate. Stop giving away all these free jackets, free trips. We don't need all that crap. Free t-shirts. Give them training so we have technicians in the field.
You covered that in our episode that we did together. You were very, very outspoken, like you are now. And there are companies, Pierre, Bosch, you've done some stuff with them, big training commitment. And I'm not ready to go down the list of which aftermarket companies, besides my sponsor, and there are a dozen now Garage Guru locations around the country. And they're stepping up to the plate, like you said. And exactly, is it that you're saying stop with the jackets and the hats and the tchotchke, that was your word, tchotchke, and put the money into training like some of these other companies? I guess what you're saying is we need more people on the training, the committed training side of the industry. And they need to re-put their budgets in other places so that training becomes extremely affordable. Now, if it's extremely affordable, a la Auto Mechanica, and you had a hell of a showing, Pete, what, based on the price that you guys are going to charge in Fiskill at the TSE big event of $75 for an entire day's worth of training, is that the impact that you're looking for? And first of all, do you have enough sponsors? How hard was it to get these? Listen, you three guys, tell me if we're heading in the right direction and what else can be done.
Well, I want to kind of jump in on that first. I want to tip my hat off to G and beer and ultimately board for kind of adapting that model. He's been working with sponsors for some time, and he's been able now to take a tremendous training value and offer it at a price that's any one of those speakers worth twice that. Easy. And that's what I want to make sure that we point out here. It's not that we're doing free training. We're just shifting the burden of the cost away from those who aren't as able to afford it to those who can. You know, so if, these big companies like Federal Mogul, Wash, S&P, many others have helped us to supply training staff, supply curriculum, in addition to the individual trainers like G and John Anello and Ray Thompson and so many others as well that really been the best in the tennis business. And we just paid for it a different way. You know, all these guys got paid. You know, so it wasn't free. It was, but it's free to the people that came. And we're going to do the same thing again in 2017. A little side note here, too, for anyone who's watching, go to Facebook, look for a very new group called Commitment to Training. Well, it's called Commitment to Training. You can find links to it on our Motor Mage page as well. And what's the site that they'll give you all the information on what we're doing? For example, we have some single day training events coming up around the home base of Chicago. Our webinars that are going on this year, just everything that's coming along until the culmination of Auto Mechanica 2017.
You know, and ASA's announced some big regional training events going on. In fact, I think they have one coming up in Orlando soon. It seems to me that if you want to train, if you want a class, you can find one.
It's definitely getting easier. You know, it's definitely getting easier, but again, this is the cost factor that we have to keep an eye on. You know, yeah, like G pointed out, we had, I'd say, 80% of the people that showed up in Chicago had never been to any type of training event before. And the only reason they could make it is because it was affordable for them. All they had to do was get there.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Gee, at the big event in March, and you know, we'll promote that a little bit here in a second, but will you know if this was their first event?
Yes, because we keep records. We've been doing this at first with STS, so this is about 20 years in total.
Okay.
13, I think this is the 13th annual event. So we have names of everyone. I would say majority of the people who signed up already, we have registrations going very well, are people that have been there already. We are getting some new people that really didn't come out to training. And I did hear a couple of people, you know, call in, and Doreen spoke to them. You know, this is their first time. It's good. It's affordable. They want to know if it's for real, because before they would be paying $260 more. So $335 or so to come out to that event, which is a very good event. As Pete said, you know, you go to see Bernie Thompson or any of the guys, Dave Hobbs, you're going to spend a lot of money. So, you know, I do want to give a shout out also to people like at Worldpack. Worldpack does it by their support of parts companies like Federal Mogul and Denso and others. They have their big training event coming up, I believe, in April. And a lot of the people are able to go for close to nothing because of the parts they buy. But no one has really done it as well as Motor Age and Auto Mechanica, because, you know, that event was just pulling in anyone. You didn't have to buy anything. You didn't have to be a customer. It was just grassroots, and it really pulled in those young people. And that's what I'm really the most excited about.
Gee, let's talk about the event. 13th annual, as you said, it's coming up in March. Tell us, give us the backstory here.
Okay. Well, once a year we have this thing called the TST Big Event. And we're going to miss our buddy Pete this year, but Motor Age will be there. Mike will be out. But Pete has been kind enough to be our keynote speaker, so I'm going to try to fill your shoes.
I heard. Wait a minute. It says down here that Trulia will be the event's keynote speaker. Have you been working on your speech?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he needs to write a thing. He just gets up and talks.
No, but I have to stay focused. That's dangerous. But anyway, this year is going to be something special. We have, I think, about 12 or better sponsors that are going to be in the room, besides other companies that have just booths in the room. So we keep them surrounded by all the technicians and shop owners that are there, which is going to be big in itself. We have a really, you know, for years we've been getting $20,000 to $30,000 worth of giveaways that we raffle off every year. Well, this year, the companies, I've asked them to kind of divert the funds from equipment and let's put it in so we can get these people in for relatively close to nothing. The $75, you know, basically just, it's like a membership for them, in all honesty, so they can stay up to date. We give them a hot breakfast, a hot lunch, two color manuals, stuff throughout the day. And someone like Bernie Thompson, who a few years back was our guest speaker, has done an unbelievable job. We had a grand slam that year with Wayne Colonna, Bernie, and Scott Brown from IATN. And, of course, Pete as the keynote speaker. So this year we think we may blow that one out of the water and just going to miss Mr. Pete there.
Especially with that keynoter, man.
Yeah, Pete, I could use the help.
Yeah, and I got to throw in, guys, you know, it's like, you know, I've been with Motor Age for 5.5 years now, and because of my passion to help technicians earn a better living, families, I've been very supportive of every training event that I can become involved with. And so it just so happens that ASA Northwest is the same weekend as the TST event. And I've had to pass them by the last few years. So in all fairness, I had to go see them and help them with theirs. So,
yeah, and that's great.
Sorry, guys. Next year.
Nah, no problem. It's always good to help others. You know, ASA is doing a good job out there promoting it. As we know, besides cars that's around, we also have out in Kansas City Vision coming up.
Yeah.
You know, another good training event. But unfortunately, that's for pay for. And you can spend a lot of money, but it's excellent training. I'll be there actually teaching. But a great event. Sherry does a great job every year as well. So all the training we have out there, any training is great. It's good. You know, Federal Mogul, Pete and I did a webcast for them. And we do thank sponsors that come up to the plate, as I say, and help people out there get information. Very important.
And again, I think it really does help the technicians in the long run, though if the shop management doesn't see the vision, so to speak, they're not getting as much out of it. There really has to be a handshake there between the technicians and the management. If the management wants to do the quick and dirty job, they're absorbing the losses of the comebacks and the lost customers and all of that. If they want to keep everybody up to a higher level, I personally believe the customers are willing to pay more for the peace of mind of knowing that it's done right the first time and they and their family members are safe in the car when they're driving down the road.
That's right. And something to remember, training doesn't cost, it pays. and it pays in the long run with the job done well and correctly. So that's where shop owners really do need to come to the plate. You know, I do get a lot of texts that call me, and sometimes they go, you know, I can't afford it. Well, I'm not a bank, but, you know, I'll make some payments with them. But a lot of their bosses will not pay for training. And that's kind of sad, because that's their shop. And their productivity is not going to be the same with a guy that's not trained. He's going to go ask the other tech, hey, Bob, how do I do this? Well, now you're wasting time.
Two people's time.
Why don't you just put the guy into training? We need to get everyone on the same page, which really gets me back to maybe licensing, because we'd pull a lot of these people out of the picture.
You know, my wife works in a industry with developmentally disabled, and she's required to have X number of hours of training every year. I don't understand why our industry doesn't require some amount of training every year to keep us up to date.
And remember, we tried to put that standard through when we were on the SAE board.
Yeah.
We did try that, you know, through STS. We tried and tried, but it never went through.
So do you think today, right now, G, there is enough inertia to really make the kind of changes inside the industry? And let me preface that by saying, are the closed-minded shop owners that just don't want to make the commitment to that higher level of training going to sustain?
Well, a couple of part question there. I think we're on the right track. I don't think it's going to be all that easy to get everyone on board, but at least we see more with Auto Mechanica, with TST, and the sponsors, you know, helping us out to get the training reasonable or for free. Shop owners, I think, is almost a need to kind of clean the the plate, per se.
Clean house? You know,
clean house. We have a lot of old thinking out there, and unfortunately, people throw parts out of car. And, you know, I visit a lot of different shops, and boy, when I see a lot of parts around, it's scary. They're just throwing stuff in there. So I think there has to be a different mindset. Some of the younger people coming up, that's helpful, because I think they'll be more out to say, hey, I want to stay up to date on these vehicles. But that being said, you know, look at the plumbers union, look at the electricians and stuff. These people have to go to training, you know,
They're licensed,
right? The vehicle is a 3,000-pound gun is what I'd like to say. And you're allowing anyone to work on it, especially with brakes. In, you know, anything that people can get hurt in front end. And sometimes it really gets me nervous where you'll see a car come in from a different shop and something is loose or brakes are not put on correctly. And you'll go, where are these people from? Okay. But this goes on because the consumer is the real problem. Consumer thinks a brake job is a brake job. And we've had this discussion many times. So they are just looking for price. And the people with the expensive cars, the Mercedes, the BMW, we just had a Mercedes in. He wanted a pass inspection. This car needed about $2,000 worth of work because of intake manifold and all this. Oh, no. He just wants to get it through. Well, you can't get it through. He abused the car. They don't want to pay the price. They want to buy the cheapest of everything. They want, you know, I just seen an ad yesterday. $19.95, right up your way, Pierre, for an oil change. The guy with the big mausoleum up there.
I know him.
You know, 99-cent inspection. You know, tires will beat anyone.
Right.
He's going cheap, cheap, cheap. I can't buy the oil for $19.95 for a good car. If you're going to use, you know, Motul or Pennzoil or any synthetic, it's impossible to do this. Well, so what are they doing?
But it's a cheating. Marketing. No one's cheating. It's just it would be like my price is $49.95 and I give somebody 50% off this week. It's a marketing ploy, but you know what it does? And I think what your point is it really does compress the view of the industry by saying, well, he could do it for 19. Why should I pay 59 somewhere else?
Right.
The public doesn't want to know the difference between the $19.95, it's going to blow your motor up oil change, and the $100 with synthetic It's going to keep it almost like new oil change.
So here's a question. Is the 1999 all the time, or is it just for a week?
It looked like it was all the time.
Well, then if that's the case, then there are shortcuts being taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll go one step further. You know, there's a big brake company that out in California, they're not allowed to say they got the $59.95 brake price because Barr has prevented them from doing that. They had a lot of problems. People come in for $59, go out with $500-$600, and not getting the quality they can get at an independent shop in most cases, or a dealership for that matter. So, you know, I understand advertising and loss leader, but you can't have this price forever. And I think that what that does is just bring down the value of the industry. People come in and go, well, the guy down there will do it for $19.95. Well, I can't even buy the, you know, the good filter and, you know, whether it doesn't matter on the brand, but I can't buy quality parts to put in your car. It's impossible.
That price does not include one good oil filter and one quart of oil with the correct stuff.
Yeah. If you're going to use, you know, good stuff, it's impossible. But that's just one of my pet peeves.
We have a long list. I do, too.
Go back and listen to his episode. He gave me about 40 of them. It was one of the longest. Well, it wasn't. It was just, anyway.
It was close. You had to cut me.
It was my Smokey and the Bear episode. It was on fire. Pete, you've been quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I just listen to these guys because, you know, they've done it, been there, got the T-shirts. I learned a lot from both of them. I would kind of echo something that we talked about before, Carm. Shops who want to turn that corner need to create that culture of learning in their own backyard. You know, they techs aren't going to go for training if it's not required of them, if they can still make a paycheck, still keep a job. If the shop sets up a culture of learning that makes it required that you get so much, then those shops grow and attract the clientele that isn't looking for the 1995 oil change. I know, for example, has got customers that they come in, they drop the keys off, and they say, hey, forget about it. Do what you got to do, you know, and they trust him to do the job right and for a fair price, and that's the kind of customer that any good shop wants.
And by the way, some of the issues in the industry are because of a lot of them are all perceptions. But if you look at the way the dealers model their service, they have a piece of it that's warranty. Of course, we in the aftermarket can't have that, but they don't really make money on warranty. What they're trying to do is get pay work after the warranty's over and, you know, upselling. If they require, and they're supposed to, if they require the technicians to have a certain amount of training, the theory there is that those technicians will do the right job. I think where they fall short, and we can have a competitive advantage, is they push the high volume so hard that they actually undermine the quality issue. And that makes it so the customer has an issue wanting to pay for it. In the aftermarket, I think if we can have that commitment to training and not try to cheapen it by throwing it out the door before it's really finished, we can have a competitive advantage.
Well, I think the other thing is, you know, the personal relationship. What I always tell people, you know, I'm your personal mechanic or technician. And, you know, I always tell my guys, if they're getting tips, they're doing a good job. They are really coming across to the owner of the vehicle that they care about their vehicle. And I like, rather than asking for me when people call up, that they ask for my guys. You know, could I speak to Bill or Franklin, you know, or Mike or whoever? That tells me these guys are doing a good job. And, you know, our customers do notice. We've had a couple of Saturdays in a row, a lab scope class and a hybrid class. We always put a sign up. We're closed for training. When we went to Auto Mechanica, we went out a day early and we put up, hey, we're closed for 5 days, whatever it was that we were gone. The 3 days of training and a day to get out and a day to come back. And people look at that, and it really helps the consumer think of you better, that you could handle my car. And, you know, we do these things called CARCOs that are insurance inspections. And this one guy called up and he said, oh, that's at the where the good mechanic is. You know, I heard you guys can fix anything. That made me feel really good. I said, yep, that's the place.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's nice. It's nice to hear. You can do advertising, but you want to get it into the people's head that you're a professional.
Jerry bent my ear, most of 20 years ago that besides the training, he bent my ear with that first. But after that, he said, you really should show certificates of the training you've had. It's a soft pillow for your customers. And I said, my customers are loyal. They've been coming to me for decades. I don't really need that. But he was right. I noticed when I put some of these certificates up that the new people who I had never seen before, would notice them. Their eyes would scan those certificates. They would know that I was keeping up. My old customers, I noticed it put them at ease a little bit. They knew that I was keeping up also, even though they had never asked me and always trusted me. It's always good to have that piece of paper in front of them. And obviously the piece of paper doesn't fix cars, but what it does is it indicates to the customer that you're a professional, that you're trying to keep up, and that you're maintaining your knowledge level, you know, for today's vehicles.
As long as they don't say 1984 on them.
Yeah, that's true.
And by the way,
to be up to date.
Calm, you do see a lot of that in some shops that, you know, every once in a while I'll have a shop owner have me come in to evaluate their shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have things up that are so old, dusty. Besides the shop being real dirty, I go, you know, you need to do XYZ to make customers feel that, you know, you're in the year 2016. You know what I'm saying?
Can we do a reality show with you, like garage repair? What do they call them? What's they say? Garage fix-up?
Garage rescue.
Oh, my God. You would be so great at that.
Oh, I just go in and they get cranky at me.
You would be like a bulldozer.
Just be like the guy at bar rescue.
I just need Pierre and Pete behind me when these guys
I'm telling you. Anybody know someone from Hollywood? I've got some connections. I mean, we may have to call Bogey and say, let's get the Velocity Channel to put G on.
Boy, you know, and it's a shame because really, we need to be as professional to the customer as possible, especially the aftermarket. More so than a dealership. Dealerships have done a great job. You know, my buddy used to have a Chevy dealer. They forced him to put upgrades in there. And if you didn't do it, you lost the franchise. And they have done, you know, between the couches, the big TVs, the cameras out in the bay so you could see your car. That's what an aftermarket shop needs to do nowadays. You know, stay up to date with these programs and CarQuest, NAPA, I guess quite a few different programs help these guys, and others need severe help.
Pete, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about learning culture, and I'm going to do an episode with Jeff Peavy from Automotive Management Institute on that exact subject, how to build a learning culture inside your business. And it not only from a management training perspective and service writers, but how do you get that whole mentality going in the right direction, that everyone's on the same page, the same train for all kinds of training, including, of course, technical. And I can't wait to get that done and put out there, because I think it'll be a great episode. Pete's episode was great. He's been with us twice in G and this one. And I think the more we get this word out, this message, by the way, this reminds me of the discussions that people have when they go to meetings, and then that, you know, that little side network builds and there's four or five people talking, and they learn the most from those little side talks, those network builders. That's what the podcast is becoming for people. They have a chance to go in and listen to someone talking about the things that they're passionate about. And if people steal great ideas and get inspired, it really makes a difference. Gee, you were talking about tips. What's the average tip for a mechanic? Is it 18% like food?
No.
Not even close.
Well, you know, some people, we had right near Christmas, one lady came in, and she doesn't drive a fancy car. She gave each of the guys $100. And I was like, wow, that is a phenomenal tip. I would say Most of the time, it's between 10 and 20. It seems like people do that. You know, they'll tip the barber. Not that I need one, but they'll tip the barber. But sometimes they won't tip the guy working on a car. And, you know, I was a former bartender years back. And if you're smart, you always tip the bartender first. You know why? Your glass will never go empty. The guy's going to take care of you. And it's the same with a car. If you tip that guy, he's going to take extra care. He's going to look at it. And it's his job to do without a tip. But it always tells me that my guy's doing a good job if they get the tips.
My service writer always got my tips. I never got them.
That's a problem.
Especially Christmas time. Bottles of liquor, turkeys.
Yeah, you never got
them. Yeah, and that's another problem with the industry is that the guys in the shop often get, let's say, taken advantage of in various ways. That's only one of them.
That's one of them.
And that disincentivizes them.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're 44 minutes in. It's been a great time. I really believe our audience has some great takeaways. I think what we served up, you guys delivered. Any final thoughts?
I'd like to say look at tstseminars.org and sign up for our big event coming up in March. Thanks to our sponsors, it's very economical. We started to touch on this a minute ago. It's not just the training in the seminars. You get to network with other technicians. You find out what other people's strengths are. You trade phone numbers, and you become better and more connected to the industry by doing that.
And, you know, you always learn something, because if we all knew everything, it'd be great, but we don't. Everyone knows something the other person doesn't know. And when we network and share ideas, you'll be surprised how many people over the years that have been in my class, not only learning from me, but they learn from each other. They may call a Pierre up, or they may call this other guy up who's an expert in the field, or someone who has a trick. Everyone is valuable in this business. And when you get around your peers, this is when we're the best. And it's a good thing to go out to any training. So get out there, get into some training. Don't forget in 2 weeks, the webcast coming up. And then March 19, our big training event up in Fishkill, New York, March the 19th.
It sounded like a commercial.
Well, I had to. All I always throw commercials in.
Very good. It's a great payback for having you on. Pete.
I'm not going to echo what these guys said. I think that the opportunities for training have grown significantly over the last 5 years. I like to think that we have little something to do with that, but making sure that we supported every event that we could, let people know what was going on. Our new commitments training initiative in 2016 and going forward is just going to build on that. And hopefully that will help you.
Yeah. You guys are doing such a great thing. I read the stuff that you put out because I need to stay as connected to, you know, what the hot issues are on the technician training side. And you write some great stuff, and the industry is should be very happy to have you in along with Pierre Respo and G. Jerry Trulia and Pete Meyer. I want to thank you so much. Part two of our technician training series. No doubt, I learned a lot, and I think this was a great, in-depth, very lively interview. So, fellas, thanks for sharing your early Friday afternoon with me. Now it's time to hit your favorite happy hour place.
Or go back to work.
What the heck? Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.